I guess Brother Carl's still at home rehabilitating, right? And had some good success, what he told me so far. So keep praying. I went to a meeting here, what night was it? What, Monday night we went? Thursday night. I forget. But they had a preacher just preach the fire out of that sermon. And he preached for an hour and a half. I thought of the days when I first met my wife. One of the things they had us do in a church in North Carolina was couples had to go in and do the nursery ever so often. So we was doing our tour in the nursery. And we had a preacher preaching that morning, and I think he loved to hear himself talk. And he preached and preached and preached, and I'm trying to help the crying babies, and I was one had dirty his pants, and I was trying to help it, and I said, "Where's the diaper?" She said, "In the bag." I said, "It ain't no more." She said, "Well, I guess you have to use your handkerchief or something. I don't know what we'll do," but sometimes people get in the pulpit, they forget about what's going on everywhere else. You know what I mean? But anyway, he did. He was a good preacher. And the guys over there were planning for that old-time revival at the Old School Baptist Church over here at Three Springs. And I begged the people on Wednesday night that were here to please come, because they're having it this close. They've asked me to be the kickoff speaker the first night on Thursday, August the 5th. The flyers are back there. And it's going to look kind of bad if I show up and none of my people. And so if you would please, and I think I promised $5 for everybody to come so they could come. I'll do whatever to get you there, all right? People say, "I don't believe in that." Well, I do. We can encourage people. But anyway, that's an announcement. Tony will be impressed, I'm sure. If you missed the Sunday school, you missed a real, real good lesson. How many of you were here this morning? Wow. Wasn't it, am I overstating? No? And talking about building a life. My message today is how to maintain a Christian life. So this would be one of the things that would be going like hand in glove with that. And my simple question is, what is your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Many people get saved, get excited, then the excitement dies off and you don't see them and you try to encourage them and they go somewhere else, and they get more discouraged. But hopefully, these things will help you. I want to be a help to you. We think about when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and God came in, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam said, "Well, I'm out here hiding behind a tree." I'm paraphrasing, okay? "I'm hiding behind a tree." "Well, why are you hiding?" "Well, I'm naked." "Well, who told you you were naked?" "Well, the devil, the wife you gave me, the woman you gave me, she ate of that tree, and then she gave me and I did eat." So that was a curse. And usually our walk with Jesus and God is deteriorated or stops or slows because there's some sin in our life. And we have to deal with that. We have to confess that. And sometimes it's hard. And one of the things we discussed in the Sunday school lesson, it's not the big things that get you, it's the little things. It might be a very little thing. Somebody said something to you you didn't like. Well, if I quit church over that, I'd never be in church. Always somebody got something bad to say. But think about that as we go through this morning. Where art thou? Where are you in relationship to God? In 1 Corinthians 12:28, but let a man examine himself. You know, we go to a lot of counseling when all we really need to do is examine ourselves. You know, I don't need somebody to doctor me. If I got a little pricked finger, I get a Band-Aid and put it on. But maybe if I don't, I might get an infection, might get worse. So I think that's how it is with some of your problems. Little things that you need to examine yourself, do a self-examination. And we had Genesis 3:9 there, and the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou? Where are you? I'll repeat that many times. I hope I don't bore you with that. But so you understand, that's the problem. All my preaching, all my counseling, all your running to somebody to get help for your mental, emotional, or spiritual is not going to do a thing for you until you admit that you've got a problem. Matter of fact, in solving a problem, 90% of it, maybe more, is admitting there is a problem and then identifying that problem, what it is. Well, first thing we want to do is walk in the Spirit. When we get saved, the Bible says we now have the Holy Spirit of God. He placed His Spirit within you. And if it's not in there, then you didn't get saved. Because God said it, and I believe it, that makes it true. And whether I believe it or not is true because God said it, right? God says that's good enough. He says in Romans 8:10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So God gives you the Spirit to guide you. We'll talk more about that in verse 11 of Romans chapter 8. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." God promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. He promised to provide everything that you need when you need it. We think many things that we need is not what we need. Maybe we need them without them. So we need to live in the Spirit. What does the Spirit want me to do? How does the Spirit want me to handle this? Sometimes things jump on us and we have to make a decision. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need to lay it along. How does this agree with the Bible, what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do? How does it agree with God? How does it agree with the sayings of Christ? We need to check that out instead of making that decision from the fleshly mind. I'm not saying that some of our occupation or some of our life is tied up some way, but we need to get God. And listen, if God can't deal with you with the kind of lifestyle you're living, then it's not God that's wrong. It's you that's wrong. It's you that's got it messed up. It's you that's got it mixed up. It wants to be led by the Spirit. Some of us just don't want to be taught. We don't want to be led. We don't want to be told. We don't want to be corrected. We live in a very undisciplined society. My life, I'll do what I want to. In the first place, it's not your life. The very God of heaven breathed life into you, and He's sustaining it right now. It's not depending on anything else except God. And when you don't listen to God, you can be taken out early. Cars are not the only thing that's called because they got defects in them. When we get out of step with God, He calls us in for a counseling session about our defects in a Christian life. And you see, when we join a family of God, we not only affect ourselves, but we affect the family. There was 12 in my family. When my dad said, "John, after dinner, meet me down behind the barn," everybody got quiet because everybody knew what was going to happen. No, there wasn't much joy because there needed to be some correction. So our lives affects not only us, but everybody around us. Does anybody ask you what's wrong with you today? why are you so grouchy today? People ever ask you that? There's something wrong. People know. You might try to hide things from people. Well, I'm okay. I'm doing what I want to do. Well, how's that working out? Is that okay, huh? No, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God says salvation without the Spirit just is not happening. When you got saved, as I said earlier, you got the Holy Spirit of God in you to help you. You just have to be willing to spend some time with the Spirit of God and fellowship with Jesus Christ and have Him lead you. And if you don't, it's going to get worse. It's like that noise in the car. Does your wife hear noises in the car that you don't hear? What is that noise? Well, I don't know what that noise is. Probably something out there. Don't worry about it. I was glad when those bugs were out there hollering. You couldn't hear anything else, could you? Couldn't hear any squeaks in the car or anything like that. But when you hear that noise and you find out there's a problem, and the mechanic says, it's a good thing you brought it in. I don't know how much further you'd went till the rear end was going to drop out of this thing. Well, guess what? When all of these signs are coming in your life, grouchy all the time, upset all the time, can't get along with anybody, can't agree, can't give up your position sometime, all that kind of stuff, then it's time to check with God and say, what's wrong with me? I need a checkup. I need to get straightened out. I want to do right. I want to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit giving evidence that you are a child of God. Do they say at work to you or where you go when they find out you're a Christian? I knew there was something different about you. I just knew it. Or do they say, you're a Christian? Wow, I never would have guessed that. Huh? One or the other, right? How about that? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It gives a testimony. God, listen to me. God is not going to let you get away with stuff. Because sooner or later, the wheel's going to come off. Something bad's going to happen. You better get it straightened out with God now before He calls you in to His presence. And when God starts dealing with you, you're going to know what's going on. All right? And if we're going to have a close relationship with God, we've got to have a good prayer life. Our prayer life. We need a prayer life. You need a personal prayer life. You need family prayer time. But you need a personal prayer life. When you and God get eyeball to eyeball with this book, and you say, but I don't understand some of that. Well, good. The way to understand is keep reading. Keep reading. And go to the parts you do understand. And someday, you'll say, wow, now I see it. This is God's way of showing you yourself. This is God's mirror for you. And many people, you know why people don't want to be in church, why they don't want to read the Bible? Because it shows them who they are. Sometimes we listen to the sermon or read the Bible and we say, oh, that belongs to, yeah, that boy so-and-so should hear this. Or keep listening till you hear the part. The Spirit, you say, I don't know how to pray. Oh boy, got a verse for that. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Means God will take your weaknesses and God's Spirit will help you with your weaknesses. Helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. Just get your Bible, read some verses from the devotional guide, your own choosing, get on your knees, get in a quiet room. How many of you remember seeing the movie we had, The War Room. Okay? Get you a war room. That's where you can fight the devil. And God will help you. And the Spirit of God will teach you how to pray. And you can become a warrior. And you don't have to tell anybody about it. Things will start happening. God will teach you things you cannot learn anywhere else. The classroom for the prayer is you and God, the Holy Spirit, and your Bible in the prayer room. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I pray with the Spirit. That means my spirit. And I will pray with understanding. Also, I want understanding, God. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Help me out. Give me some understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. I can't sing in a... Well, it don't matter. Just try anyway. That's why we have the singing. After a while, you can get into it. You know, even a dumb country bumpkin like me. We used to have a saying down where I went to church as a little kid. We sang by letter. Just open up and let her fly where it comes out. And whenever I'm singing, I haven't sang in a while because of my throat and all that. But if we sing after a while, we can get it. We can get it. And I see they're singing higher pitch there. Oh, okay, got that. But when I'm singing, everybody knows when I make a mistake because I'm singing louder than anybody. I don't know how you can sing. Me, me, me. I just have to let it all come out some way or other. All right? So God wants your prayer life. God wants that. This Bible is God talking to you. This is you talking to God. Communication with God. God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear your troubles. God wants to hear your problems. And God wants you to be honest. Read the Psalms, how David said, Lord, I've sinned. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That you might have had a perfect life, but it wasn't really perfect because you was a sinner. But maybe you had a good moral life, good upbringing. But when you got saved, it didn't take any more of God's grace to save you than it did me, who was a fallen down drunk. Didn't take any more. No more. God's grace is sufficient for all our sins, all our trespasses, all our shortcomings. There's things I still have to pray about. Do you ever get the feeling you just like to slap somebody? Do you? Be honest now, do you? Yeah, I do. And that's not right. That's not right. I shouldn't feel that way. So I got to tell God, God help me with this. So I go up, shake hands, say hi, how are you? I don't spend too long. God says, live peaceably with all men as much as lies possible within you. There's some people it's just impossible to get along with, isn't it? I mean, do you feel that way? And I think God agrees with that. But we have to do our best, even in those hard cases. They're hard cases. And let's get to the Bible here. We need to have a Bible study by ourselves, connected with that prayer life. Okay? God told Timothy, Paul wrote him and said in 1 Timothy 2:15, study. Now listen to me, dear hearts. Listen to me. Study is a little bit more than reading. Okay? And the way you study is when you run across the verse and a word you don't understand, you get a Bible concordance and you go look that word up and you see what it means and you say, oh. You say, but Pastor Hodge, that's going to take a lot of time. Right. Right. We need to take time. Time out for God. Oh, I need to go on a vacation. Maybe we do once in a while. I agree with that. But sometimes What we really need is to get alone with God. Maybe we need a vacation with God. Maybe we need to take a vacation with Him. Get away from all the noise, all the people, all of our stuff, and say, God, you and me, and maybe you want to have your wife, maybe you want to have your husband, maybe you don't. Maybe you're really searching out a deep problem. But study. Study. Know the Bible. That's what we're trying to do with this Bible school. There's a good place to start. Help us pass out flyers. Get some of those kids so we can get them started before they get off on that wrong road and build a house and a life on sinking sand. He said, a workman, if you're going to work for God, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What that means is, how are you going to help somebody else if you don't know yourself? I say to them girls every time I go down, they've got to start an IV on me. I've lost so much weight, my arms are so bony. And I say, do you know what you're doing? Oh, yeah. Last time I was down, the girl said yes, but she started. Now, look here. Here's the vein lying in your arm. You stick the needle in, and the minute it goes in, you go flat with that. You don't keep boring through. That's what she did. And finally, her monitor was going, he started explaining it all to her. In the meantime, I'm laying there with needles sticking in me. But our life, we need to get a hold of God. Notice that Timothy was going to be okay, according to Paul, in 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's what you need to know about salvation. You need to know how to get it, and know you got it, and know you can't lose it. Amen. You get salvation. God gives it. God don't take it away. God may wear the daylights out of you when you don't obey Him, but He doesn't throw you away. He didn't say, okay, Adam, I'm throwing you away. Because you've done this, the work that you did in the garden was pleasure. Now it's going to be a chore. You're going to earn by the sweat of your brow. And before, it was just a great pleasure to work the garden of God. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Start learning early, able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. That's what we want to teach people about. That's what this world needs. That's what Washington needs. You know, the government, Ronald Reagan told us a long time ago, the government don't solve problems. They are the problem. We need God. We need God. And Trump, for whatever he was, rough talking, he said, let's have some Wednesday night prayer meeting here. Let's have prayer. Let's let the people have, kids have the Bible in school. And that's why they got rid of it. That's why they hate him, because he was doing what God wanted done. Notice verse 16. All Scripture. What does all mean, folks? It means all. When you get over there in Numbers and read so-and-so begat so-and-so, so think, wow. He said all of it was given by the inspiration of God. That means this book is God-breathed. Inspiration. Inspiration. You're handling the Word of God, the voice of God, the very breath of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. That doctrine means to study what we believe and why we believe it. We base it on the Bible. We had that baby dedication, not because we just wanted to have a baby, because the Bible says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what we're trying to do. Do what God says. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That means that it will show us what's wrong with us. As I said earlier, most of us don't want to know. This book will show you what's wrong with us. Your wife can tell you every day you just don't have a good attitude around people, around, and your wife can tell you that and tell you that, and you get tired of hearing it. But let God tell you, and God will tell you. God will tell you if you listen here. And for correction. You see, God corrected Adam and Eve because of sin. They're his children. If you sin, God's going to correct you. God's going to correct you if you're a child of God. That's another way of knowing if you really got saved or not. If you can do all the sins of the world and never feel the wrath of God upon you, then you probably didn't really get saved to begin with. Huh? Got to be one way or the other, right? And not only does he reprove you and correct you, but he gives you instruction on how to do it right. Sometimes we won't do that. I probably shared this story many times before, but I'd come home from running around trying to work three jobs and the yard wasn't mowed. And I said to my wife, why don't the boys? Well, you got to show them. I said, I don't have time to do that. It takes time. God will show you what's wrong. He'll correct you for it. Then he'll show you how to do it right. That's the way we should correct our kids. Okay? And why does he want to do that? That the man of God or the person of God, that word perfect means mature, that they will be mature, thoroughly furnished unto good works. You see, we can't help nobody ourselves when we need help for us. We see our witness in this fellowship with God. You can't have a strong witness and talk to other people about Jesus. But you shall receive power, Acts 1:8. See, power, it takes power to be a witness. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. God wants you to be a witness. As a matter of fact, you are his witness. As we mentioned earlier, you're either good or bad. Either people at work say, nah, he's not a Christian. Or they say, if you want to know something about God, go see him. Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. You belong, listen to me, you belong to God before you belong to your family. You belong to God before you belong to your job. You belong to God before you belong to any other relationship. If you're a Christian, and when you don't give God that first place in your life, all those other relationships are going to be all messed up. Not going to work. God said, we love the Lord God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. We got to put him first in all things. And many times, it's like a screw being loose that makes a squeaky noise on the car, piece of chrome loose. It's one little thing in our life. We need to get it right with God. You are my witnesses and my servant. That's a word we don't like to hear today, but we are. As we in the Army would report for duty, sir, God, I'm reporting for duty. I'm reporting for duty. What do you want me to do today? Instead of going off on our, well, I'll get my Bible out later. I'm telling you from personal experience, and the devil knows when I'm going to pray, when I'm going to read my Bible, because the phone will ring, somebody will call, somebody will come knock on the door, something will happen. First thing I know, my day is a mess. It's noontime. I haven't got anything done. One day I was looking for a pair of pliers. I kept looking and looking and looking and looking. I just had them in my hand. I was going nuts. And honest, this is the truth. It almost sounded like a real voice, but it wasn't. You haven't prayed or asked me. I got on my knees in the barn. Prayed, that's God. I opened my eyes and there they were laying right there. God knows what he's doing, folks. Let God handle your life. And again, It's not the big things. It's a little thing like a pair of pliers that drives us nuts. That you know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. So you got one loyalty, one place, and it's amazing how God, when He's first in your life, everything else will be lined up just right. You say, wow, I didn't know it could work that good. Amid the storm of life, you'll find things going better all the time. And He said in verse 11 of Isaiah 43, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other Savior. He's not a way, He is the only way. He's not a choice by chance, He is a personal choice of your choosing and forsaking all others. Verse 12, I have declared and have saved. What did He declare? If you trust me, I'll save you and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll provide everything you need, and when life is over, I'll take you to heaven. And that's all you need to know. Everything else will enforce that as you go through life. And I have showed you when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, say the Lord, that I am God. So, my final question is the first question. What is your answer to God? Where are you? You have a good prayer life? You have a good Bible study life? You have a good witness life? We have tracts back there. If you want to start, you carry them around. You want to help pass out flyers for the kids to get started with your witness life, witnessing to people. My wife is diligently, it don't matter who the bill is to. We have a bill, we have a card, stick a track in it. Some of those people at the light company or wherever we send them, they might throw it in the trash. But one day, they will stand before God and they'll say, when did you ever tell me? God will say, I had that track come in that mail and you threw it in the trash. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Think of that. See, it's not an accident. God has a plan for your life and is working your life and moving you towards a direction He wants you to go where you will be the happiest and produce the more for God that He can. Okay? Answer that question. Where am I in relationship to God? Am I as close as I ought to be? Do I love Him like I ought to? Am I working for Him like I ought to? Or do I make a big bunch of excuses? Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before You this morning, thanking You for the love and salvation we have in Jesus. We thank You that You've saved us, washed us in the cleansing blood by the fountain of God. Uphold us with Thy right hand. Go with us. Keep us going. Bless this church. We thank You for all You do for us. We thank You for what You have done and want You to keep doing it. Lord, thank You for people that are here, dedicated, working. We pray for those that come. If anyone's in the sound of my voice today, without You, I pray today would be the day they trust Christ. We'll praise You. As heads are to continue bowed, kind of play softly for a moment. If you need the altar time to come and say, God, I want You to show me how far I've drifted, if I have, and I want to get back. Or maybe you want to come pray about a fellow Christian that you know that has drifted away from God, making excuses about why they've gone. You want to come pray for them? Come pray. Prayer works. Prayer works. It's how we get things done. You can get more work done praying than you can by not praying, I can tell you that. If you know you're saved this morning on your way to heaven, raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor Hodge. Amen. Amen. If you can, you can say a prayer right now. Dear God, the best way I know how, I confess I'm a sinner, and I don't want to die and perish without Christ. So right now, I accept Him into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing a song. If you need to come to the altar, need to talk to me more at the door, I'll meet you back there. What number are we singing? 417. Sorry. Author of that song, his daughters, they were running from the Chicago fire, and he sent his family ahead back to England. They went down with a ship and were drowned, and his wife was spared. She sent him a telegram and said, the ship went down and all was lost except me. Days later, he was on the ship going back to England to his wife. He told the captain, when you get to the spot where the ship went down, let me know. He did, and he prayed. Then he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. You know, you can have, get saved, then you got the peace of God. But you drift, you don't have peace with God all the time. Peace of God saves you, of course, you get that. But if you're restless with your life, we sing that last verse, think, am I at peace with God? Could I meet Him tomorrow? And you may do it. Could I go right now because I'm at peace with God? Sing that last verse, please. update you more tonight about what's going on. I've got another therapist in my life. I got more doctors and therapists than this whole church has had all your life. But they want me to get my neck straightened up. Some of my swallowing problems because my neck's hanging down all the time. So they got me sore, but I'm working it. But we're climbing a mountain, and things are getting better. I can take little chips of ice, go right down, no problem. I try to drink water and have trouble. I found out if I can push it to the right side, I'm still trying. So keep praying for me. And is it 19th and the 20th when I go for a dual stay down there? They'll do a opening up of my esophagus. And then the very next morning, I have to get to school and learn how to do it myself. Stick a thing down, self-dilation, they call it. So we'll see what happens. And if I can do that, I figure if I know how to push something down there with that thing, why can't I put food down there? So maybe. God's so good. One of the things about seeing all these people, God keeps saying, tell them about me. Tell them about me. Tell them about me. And when you start talking to them, you hear the pan rattle, they got the stuff in. What? I just said, are you a Christian? What do you mean? Oh, I mean, I'm glad you asked that, your question. Do you have some time I can tell you? Well, we need to, let me just tell you, just take me a few minutes. It's more fun being a witness to people outside the church, really honest. And I love it, love God, love you all. And be back tonight. We'll have some more fun. All right, Brother Ed, you have a closing prayer, please.